Spark, Ease, Fly by Festive Ferret, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Okay, everyone, let's get started. Steve clapped his hands together lightly and moved to the center of the gymnasium. Around him, families with their dogs lined up in a wide circle, leashes in hand, and pockets stuffed with treats, and waited for instructions. We worked on sit last week. Hopefully you all had good luck working on that at home all week. If anyone had any trouble and wants a review, stay after class and we'll do a little reminder for that before you go. I'm happy to stay late. Steve took a treat from his pocket and gave a short, low whistle so Valley would scoot out of her bed in the corner and cross the room to stand at his heel. She stared up at him with border collie intensity, waiting as tensely as the class was to see what she would be asked to do. Today's task is leave it. Our goal with leave it is to have our dogs stop before putting something in their mouth. This is really helpful while cooking if you drop something, if you have young children who drop food or leave their toys around, and while on walks. Just the other day, Valley dug an entire uneaten bagel out of the snow. Everyone laughed. So what we're going to do is take the leash and either brace it under your foot or fold it between your hands and hold it close to your belly button. Make sure it's not wrapped around your hand or wrist, and make sure your dog has about a foot and a half of free play. Steve demonstrated by hooking a leash to Valley's collar and looping it under his foot. Now you're going to toss a treat just out of reach. Keep a few things in mind. One, don't toss it right to the dog next door. That earned him another laugh, and he couldn't help smiling. And two, make sure your dog can see it and move towards it, but they can't reach it because of your firm hold on the leash. He tossed a treat, giving the command at the same time, and Valley didn't even look at it, staring at Steve. "Some actor you are," he muttered. "Wait, and this is critical, until your dog relaxes. They're going to charge at the treat. They're going to pull and struggle. This might be a long process for some of your dogs, but let them go through what they need to go through. And when they exhaust all possibilities and realize they can't get it, they're going to give up and relax. And the tension will go out of the leash. And that's when you say, 'Valley, take it,' and then let the leash go long." Valley dove on the treat and gobbled it up, then turned right back to Steve, licking her lips. "Good girl." He rubbed his hand over her head. "Everyone give that a try. I'm going to go around the room and help you out." He unleashed Valley and quietly told her to go back to her bed, which she did, then started making his way around the gym, watching his students attempt to teach their dogs to leave it. A few were struggling with keeping the leash at the right tension, and he showed them how to adjust their hands. One had thrown the treat too far and nearly got pulled off her feet when she loosened the leash and let the dog have it. Steve let them practice for about 20 minutes until he was seeing genuine improvement from almost everyone. Then he took his place in the center of the room again. He did a slow turn, making sure everyone looked ready to start the new task, which drew his gaze once more across the chairs along the side of the gym by the door. For all 3 weeks of the class so far, there'd been a man, an incredibly handsome man if Steve let himself think about it, with a young boy of about 10, clearly his son, and the smallest puppy Steve had ever seen. The man sat with the boy beside him, and the puppy stayed curled up in the boy's lap, and they watched. Steve advertised his class as good for puppies of all ages, but there was a lower cutoff of 5 months before which he recommended Sam's puppy socialization classes instead. But the man and his son hadn't joined any of the activities or asked any questions. They just watched. Steve's only conclusion had been that they must have two dogs, and the man and the boy sat and watched while the rest of their family did the class with an older dog, but he couldn't figure out who they belonged to. It was a mystery that was starting to pique his curiosity to dangerous levels. He didn't want to just out and out ask the man why he was there. It seemed accusatory. And they had to have a pass because the community center only let in people after hours who had proof of purchase on an evening course. It also didn't hurt that the man was incredibly gorgeous. His son was adorable and perfectly behaved, and their curly-haired puppy was the cutest thing Steve had ever seen. Realizing that everyone was staring at him, waiting for him to start the next part, Steve cleared his throat and powered on. "Good job, everyone. Looking great. The other command we're going to work on today is come. It's important to keep the recall activities positive but also firm. So first, we're going to work on tone of voice. Make sure that you don't sound angry, or why would your dog want to come to you? We're looking for confident and commanding, but not angry or scary. So when you're ready, you're going to let your dog have some play on the long leash, let him sniff or get distracted. Then you're going to crouch down and say, 'Sparky, come,' and..." Steve was cut off mid-sentence by the tiny puppy suddenly leaping off the little boy's lap and powering across the gym floor. He made it about 15 feet away from Steve before he suddenly seemed to realize he was all alone in the big, scary room full of other dogs and people, and he slowly sunk down to his belly, eyes going wide. Steve looked at his owner, who had a hand pressed over his face and was laughing. "His name is Sparky," he called out. Steve laughed too, and the rest of the class joined him. "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was just using it as a random example." He bent down and wiggled his fingers enticingly at the puppy, who shuffled forward and squirmed in between his legs. Steve took the biggest treat from his bag. "Can he have this?" The man nodded. "Sure." Steve handed over the treat, and the puppy grabbed it, then turned and hightailed it back to the little boy, who scooped him up and settled in his chair again, giggling. "Well, my apologies for that," Steve said, waiting till the laughter and the chatter had died down. "I guess I need to come up with a new example name. And I think we can all agree that Sparky wins VIP for today's class. Okay, let's all practice some recall." Once again, Steve circled the class, giving each student pointers and helping them get the most of their practice. When they hit the halfway mark on the lesson time, Steve told everyone to take a break, most taking their dogs out back for a pee break and to run off some pent-up energy from thinking so hard for so long. Steve walked over to the man with the puppy and held out his hand to shake. "So sorry about that." "Oh no, don't be sorry. That was hilarious. He's an enthusiastic little guy." He smiled, the corners of his eyes crinkling. "Tony Stark. Nice to meet you. And this is Peter. And you met Sparky already." Steve laughed, shook Peter's hand, then patted Sparky on the head. He wagged his tail. "He's wonderfully well-trained to be so responsive to his name with a stranger, no less." "Well, he listens to Peter, that's for sure. And you, I guess. But you have the magic touch." Tony's eyes sparkled, and he leaned a little closer, making Steve swallow heavily. "Peter listens to your podcast and watches all your YouTube videos. He wants to be a dog trainer when he grows up." "Oh, no way. That's great. I'm so glad. I'll have to get you up to help me to teach one of these lessons, huh?" Peter's eyes went wide. "Really?" "Sure, I could use the help." "Wow." He held Sparky closer, nearly hiding behind his fur, and Steve turned his attention back to Tony. "I was wondering why you guys signed up when Sparky's a bit young for the course." "Ah, yeah, I hope you don't mind. Peter really wanted to take him to training, but we didn't quite make the age cutoff, and we've done the puppy social class already. So I told Peter we could sign up so he could listen and learn and practice a bit at home if he wanted to, but he'd have to wait until spring to participate in the lessons." "Gosh, well, I certainly appreciate you taking the class twice. Such dedication. I'm sure Sparky's going to grow up to be the best dog in the county." "No dog is better than Valley," Peter said reverently. Steve laughed. "Well, just yesterday she chased a skunk, so Sparky is definitely in the running." "Oh no," Peter breathed, clutching Sparky closer to his chest. "You could go say hi to her if you wanted." Steve gestured toward where she was chilling in her bed. "She won't mind." Peter made a strangled, squealing kind of noise and ran off to fall to his knees by Valley's bed, putting Sparky on the ground near her so they could sniff each other, the puppy's little tail going a mile a minute. "Thank you," Tony said, and Steve's attention was drawn back to him and then held entirely. "This will fuel him for years to come." "You know, the age limit was mostly to keep out the chaos, but you and Peter can join in on the lessons if you want to. It's clear Sparky is calm enough that he won't disturb the other dogs. He might be the calmest one, actually. Tony laughed. That'd be great, thank you. I'll be sorry not to have an excuse to come back in the spring, though. There was a light shining in Tony's eye that gave Steve hope. No? Well, I thought maybe by then I'd have worked up the courage to ask if you're single. Steve's breath caught. He shoved his hands in his pockets, squeezing them into fists, willing himself to be cool. Well, whenever you do get up the courage, I'll say, yes, I am. Single and into men. How about into single fathers? With bonus puppies? Absolutely. Excellent. Well, if that's the case, maybe I can bump up my courage to next week's class instead. Steve smiled. I hope you do. Tony held up his phone. Maybe you could give me your number in case I get there sooner than expected. Steve held out his hand. I'd love to. Tony put his phone in Steve's hand, and Steve typed in his number, then handed it back. He looked back over to where Peter was slowly petting Valley with one hand and Sparky with the other, and his heart skipped a beat, like maybe this might be the start of something. 4 years later. Steve leaned against the frame of the open sliding door, clutching a mug of steaming coffee between his hands. Arms circled his waist, and Tony's face pressed in between his shoulder blades. What's Peter up to? Tony asked, voice muffled by Steve's shirt. He built a complete agility course in the backyard using sticks, that old broken table, I think a rake. And he's running Sparky and Socket through it. Valley is supervising. Well, as long as there is an adult overseeing things, Tony said with a snort. It seems very well organized. Steve leaned back into Tony's hold, one hand dropping to the place where his hands met on Steve's stomach. He wound their fingers together, making their rings clink. It's on you if he wants to be driven all over the country doing agility trials this summer, Tony mumbled. Hey now, you can't blame me for this. He loved dogs before he even met me. Yeah, but you reinforced it, so it became a full-on obsession, and I'm pretty sure one of the important parts of the adoption form you signed involved being legally bound to drive him several hours first thing in the morning for dog-related sports. Steve burst out laughing. He spun around in Tony's arms to be greeted with his bedhead and morning pout. Yeah, okay. He kissed Tony, grinning. I'll drive. But you know you wouldn't miss it for the world. Tony's pout melted into a glowing smile. The end.